truth seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, once again, sitting in for Mike Malloy. Yes, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, drafted into duty once again, being the media here on the Mike Malloy Show, broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Burbank. That's right, right here in the heart of Los Angeles. Burnt, battered, bruised, scarred Los Angeles. Also here in the heart of the charred and scarred heart of progressivism. We're with you all week long. Happy to be here sitting in for Mike while he's out on a much-deserved vacation. Man, is he going to be loaded for bear when he gets back. If you want to call us tonight during the show, we got a big show. I'll give you the guest lineup in a minute. And Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake is going to join us within seconds. If you'd like to talk to us tonight, we'll try to get you in. 877-520-1150 is the number. 877-520-1150. Don't use Mike Malloy's normal number because you'll just bother the Malloys. Bother us instead out here in Los Angeles. You can also stop by bradblog.com and join the live chat. We've got a live chat room set up during the show. Go to the very top item there where it runs down tonight's program. Click here for more, and you'll find the chat room. Jump on in there. Agent 99 is hosting in there. Desi is also in there as well. I'll keep my eye on it as best I can. And, well, let's see. Any other business I need to take care of? Coming up on tonight's show, I already mentioned Jane Hampshire is going to be joining us. Also, Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org is going to be here to... talk about this very troubling news last week. Our old friends at the Diebold Voting Machine Company, the Diebold Election Systems has been bought up. It will soon be no more. Actually, it already is no more. Has been bought up by the largest election supplier in the world and in the nation, ES&S. Creating a megalopoly, is that a word? Megalopoly of 120 million votes will be counted by a single private company, a private company, by the way, that fails time and time again. Also, our old friend Mike Rogers from Page One Q and Blog Active is going to join us later on for a big gay hour. Can't wait. What are you laughing about, Tony? It's a big gay hour. It's coming up. You're going to enjoy it. That, Desi Doyen with the Green News, a whole bunch more. So stick with us all night long. And I mentioned the chat room. I mentioned everything. All right, let's rock. Last night I was talking about, furiously, frankly, talking about Van Jones and his forced resignation, forced, in my opinion, by the political terrorists, by the thugs, by the McCarthy-like tactics, by the thought police of Glenn Beck and Fox News, who essentially forced Van Jones to step out because he had the temerity to sign a petition asking questions about 9/11. Oddly enough, Glenn Beck has made the theme of his show for the last week or two. Reasonable questions in unreasonable times, as we played last week. He encouraged people to ask the difficult questions without fear. Well, apparently only questions that are Fox News approved. Otherwise, you should be very afraid because you'll get in trouble for simply asking them, as did Van Jones, apparently, who was really thrown under the bus, frankly, by the Obama administration. And I ain't happy about it. The one progressive guy, a real progressive hero, Van Jones, and he was just thrown under the bus by the Obama administration, and it kind of infuriated me. Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake joins us. She, too, seemed to be a bit upset about all of this. She wrote an article on Sunday after this happened called A Moment of Truth for Liberal Institutions in the Veal Pen. She will splain momentarily. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Brad. Good to be on the Mike Malloy Show.
Great to have you, but especially because you got hosed today on MSNBC. My words, not yours. But you were there. I was ready to watch you about 30 seconds, and then they bring in Pelosi and Harry Reid for some breaking news that, frankly, nobody cared about. I wanted to see you, Jane.
Well, you know, at least I got 1 minute. A while back I was there, and I got bumped 2 days in a row by the guy who did the Holocaust Museum shooting. So,
brother.
You know, it's a step up.
So you're just bad news. When you show up on MSNBC, there's going to be some breaking news. Duck when Jane comes. All right. Well, as far as I'm concerned, this piece was a must-read on Van Jones. I think you were right on the money here. Give us an idea. What the hell is the what the hell are liberal institutions in the veal pen, and how did all of this come to play from this Van Jones resignation?
When the Obama administration came into office, they wanted to wrangle all of the big liberal institutions into backing them, basically echoing their messages and not giving them any trouble on anything like the bank bailouts or, you know, dropping employee free choice or, you know, don't ask, don't tell and DOMA. And they went, okay, you guys, we're going to have an 8:45 call every morning. Everybody's going to be on message. We got a once-a-week meeting, common purpose. Everybody's going to be on message. And we really don't want you stepping out of line. And if they do, they tend to get called out very forcefully by Rahm Emanuel, amongst others, who showed up a couple weeks ago and hollered at everybody for advertising against Blue Dogs on healthcare.
Yep.
Calling them effing stupid.
Yep.
And they wind up getting a funding cut, which is uncool. So, you know, what I was calling for were these groups to step out of the veal pen, the, you know, small crate where they're kept and you know, neutered and not allowed to form a real liberal critique of what is happening with the administration and do the right thing. You know, Van Jones was someone that they all celebrated. They wanted him at every dinner. They wanted him on the board. They wanted him to be there every step of the way. And the minute he got thrown under the bus by the White House, which shocked me. I mean, Glenn Beck runs the White House now. Where were they? They just weren't there. They didn't want to embarrass the White House by saying, wow, you know, they shouldn't have done this. They abandoned him.
Yeah, I know. And it's the idea that a guy like Rahm Emanuel, and I think really a lot of this comes from Rahm, as you suggested in his meetings and so forth. Yeah. But it's been going on from the beginning. Where the hell has it gotten us, Jane? When do we start saying enough is enough, Rahm Emanuel? Let's get rid of Rahm. I mean, this is crazy what's going on.
Well, it is, but, you know, you don't keep the guy around if he's not doing what you want.
So you're suggesting this is what Obama wants. He wants to keep the liberal, the progressive interest groups in line, and he was more than happy to throw Van Jones under the bus.
Nobody made anybody do that bank deal. Nobody made anybody, you know, give the bonuses to all those AIG executives, right? That didn't happen, by accident. And if it did happen by accident, then you would think it was a bad accident and the people responsible would have been checked. But that didn't happen.
Now, I got in, not a lot of trouble, but I got a lot of callers last night because I was pretty much going on for 3 hours about how ticked off I was at the Obama administration for folding on so much of this stuff. You seem to be suggesting, there's reason to be ticked off here, but what do we do about it, Jane? You guys over at Fire Dog Lake, by the way, thank you. You've done a tremendous job raising money to do some real reporting on healthcare and to rally the troops. But the folks on the inside, I mean the real inside, and I don't know if you got calls, if you were on that 8:30 call. I know I wasn't. But
No. For some reason, I can't get through.
Get through? Okay. I would thought you were in, but I'm out. You're out. So what the hell do we do? How do we change this paradigm right now, Jane?
Glad you asked, Brad.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I did, too.
Around mid-June, it became clear that Rahm Emanuel had basically dealt away with Max Baucus everything that was worth anything in a health care bill in order to keep all the health care lobbyists at the table to keep them from financing a Republican resurgence in 2010. So where we should have had a pharma deal that recouped $300 billion in 10 years from Medicare alone, we basically said, you can just keep making profits. We're going to fudge the numbers, and it looks like you're getting $50 billion less. But actually, your stock prices are rising, so everybody really knows you're going to make money here.
Right.
Right? And in exchange, you're going to spend $150 million running ads in the districts of all our vulnerable freshmen and a few of the blue dogs that aren't vulnerable that we just like. And, you know, there won't be any real health care reform. We're just gonna say that there will be. And so those deals were done, and we realized that that was what was going to happen unless we kind of got it together. So we started a whip count effort, and we went to progressive members of Congress, and we went, what if we wind up with a really bad health care bill, which like got triggers in it and co-ops, and they're like, oh, it's not going to happen. The president's committed to a public option. And they went, then we went, all right, but just humor me. Like, what if this happened? Would you vote to kill it? And they didn't want to answer, so we sent Mike Stark, your friend and mine, up on the Hill with a video camera to like chase him down the Hill and say, hey, come on, we want to hear it. You got nothing but Democrats in your district. 77% of the country wants a public option. 40 members of the House, you know, Democratic members of the House joined together. They can kill any bill that doesn't have a public option. Would you do that? And they finally released a letter, 60 of them, saying that, in fact, they would. And then five others had told us that they would. So it became a big deal once the Baucus bill was starting to, you know, the House, the Senate deal was starting to look bad.
Right.
We had these people who had made this commitment. And now all of a sudden they're an obstacle that, that people have to, that the, that they have to get through to get a health care bill passed.
And I know you've sort of been going through one by one to get pledges from these guys at this point. Will they vote against a bill that if it doesn't have a public option? But I'm not sure if they're pledging against it if it has a public option with a trigger. We're going to talk about that trigger. We're speaking with Jane Hampshire. I got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Jane Hampshire of FireDogLake.com, the great Jane Hampshire. And I'm not just saying that because she's here. She really is great. Brad, in for Malloy. A whole lot more ahead. Please stick with us.
She done me wrong. She hurt my eyes open. That's no lie. Table's turning now. My time to cry. Because I used to love her. But it's all over now.
These are tough economic times.
All right, welcome back to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Malloy tonight. And all week long, we're speaking with Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake. She wrote over the weekend about the resignation of Van Jones. If there's going to be a serious progressive movement in this country capable of standing up for health care against an industry that spends $1.4 million a day on lobbying, we can't just look to the members of the Progressive Caucus and say, hey, you get something done. They need cover, writes Jane. They need to know that they will be supported. And people like Van Jones, who have given their lives to causes we say we value, like prison reform and environmental advocacy, need to know they will be defended and not handed over to Glenn Beck as an acceptable casualty in the battle for K Street dollars. That seems to be what has happened here, Jane, and, you know, lobbying as much as we can, progressives can, lobbying members of Congress to get their pledges to vote against a bill that doesn't include a public, public option. It doesn't take care of the bigger picture. That's what I'm worried about, because I see this problem happening over and over again, whether it's healthcare, green, you know, cap and trade, election reform, media reform, on down the line. You got a guy like Rahm Emanuel. Well, maybe I'm too hard on him. You say I should blame Obama. I will. Steny Hoyer. All of these guys seem to be at odds with what it is that folks like you and I, and as you point out, 77% of America, the American people, want. What do we do about that bigger picture, Jane?
I think healthcare is the bigger picture, Brad, because finally you've got people who care enough about something that they are willing to act collectively to draw a line. You know, people didn't care that much about the war in Afghanistan. We whipped on the supplemental, but we knew we'd lose that because people just don't care about it that much. Wax and Markey kind of just floated by. Healthcare, they care. And it's an opportunity for progressives in Congress to assert themselves and stick together and start driving policy, right? Because there are, what, 83 members of the Progressive Caucus,
mm-hmm.
and there are only 53 Blue Dogs. If you look at what the Blue Dogs managed to do by holding together, what could those 83 progressives do? And yet they haven't.
But it's the Blue Dogs over in the Senate that ultimately are going to have the big say here.
Well, that's what they would like you to believe. But the progressives in the House blocking legislation can have every bit as much of an impact as the conservatives in the Senate can. Think about it. You know, so fine. You say, well, they have an interest in passing health care that the conservatives don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about when the ag funding bill comes up?
Right.
Like, everybody wants something at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way you can exert influence in that situation is by sticking together and saying, no, we're going to deal here. You want to get through here? You got to get through me. This is what they have to do. They've got to start playing that game, and they haven't. They've sort of given over that leadership to the White House and to the House leadership and said, you know, we're just going to do what you want. And they get screwed every time. And their constituents aren't going to take it anymore. And their constituents are standing up now, and they're saying, hey, you know what? We gave you all that money, and we supported you for all those years when your vote didn't mean anything. Now your vote means something, and we expect you to do something for it. And that's why the veal pen is problematic, because these are the organizations that should be supporting these people to do it. And instead of supporting them, they're supporting Rahm Emanuel, and that's not good.
And you may be, believe it or not, more optimistic than I am that people really are standing up, that people are making noise about it. Jane, I know it's getting late out there. Are you able to stick around for over the break? I got a few more questions for you. I know you might have to leave. I leave it to you.
Yes, I can. I may have to switch phones on you.
Okay. Well, we'll put you on hold. Desi will take care of you there. Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake. A couple more questions for her and your calls, and a whole lot more ahead right here on the Mike Malloy Program. I'm Brad. Stick with us. Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com, in for the vacationing Mike all week long. Get over it. Glad you could join us here. We've got Jane Hampshire of Fire Dog Lake, cut short today on MSNBC, extended on the Mike Malloy Program. You can give us a call, 877-520-1150. You can also stop by the chat room at the very top of bradblog.com. Jump into the first item where it says click here for more. You will get to the chat room. And, oh, by the way, happy birthday, Mom. I love you. All right. Zap Kitty says in the Bradblog chat room, Jane, that the Baucus health care bill was actually written by Vice President of WellPoint, and that apparently they left her name in the PDF. Is that true? Are you able to confirm that, Jane?
No, I hadn't heard that, but it would not be one of the things that surprised me in all of this.
No, it really wouldn't. And Zap Kitty usually gets it right, so we should check that out. All right. Well, you know, the question again comes down to accountability, really, of these Blue Dems, holding the progressive feet to the fire and letting the Blue Dogs know we're serious if they don't do the right thing. You set up an organization along with, I think, Move On and Glenn Greenwald and Daily Coast and SEIU. Called accountabilitynow.org. I wrote about it when you guys introduced yourselves. I wrote about it over at the Guardian UK. And you were going to take on the Blue Dogs, support progressive candidates instead of these Blue Dogs. And then Accountability Now kind of, well, they got pushed back, it seemed, from Reed and Rahm. What happened to Accountability Now? And will you guys pick up that ball and run some progressives instead of these Blue Dogs?
I think there's a couple of things about that I'll add to that.
Okay.
Accountability Now wasn't designed to run progressives against Blue Dogs. It was designed to challenge members of Congress who are voting against the interests of their districts.
Okay.
As long as you're voting against in the interest of your district, if you come from crazy right-wing district and you are into some crazy right-wing stuff, that's not our business. But if you're voting for WellPoint against the interest of your constituents, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, mm-hmm. that's where accountability now comes in. Now, in terms of what we've been doing, we've soon found that when you're running around in districts trying to recruit challengers, just about the worst thing you can do is announce that you're doing that.
Okay.
It sort of makes people afraid to come forward. So we've been very active, and I actually think that next week you will be very happy to hear what we're doing. But we really wanted to make sure that before we got backing any candidates, that we didn't repeat the mistakes of the past. We didn't just support someone because we didn't like who they were running against. Mm-hmm. We made sure that they established themselves as candidates in their own right and were worth backing. So we've been doing a lot of due diligence, a lot of recruitment, and, you know, you have to do everything. You have to bring this stuff public in its own time, and that's getting ready to happen now. But it isn't because we've been inactive.
I appreciate that, and I've got a question about it from Michael in New York. Welcome, Michael, to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for Jane?
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that, but I believe you just asked my question. I'll be excited to see what turns out next week. Thank you, Jane.
Okay. Well, I will be excited to see what turns out next week, and I hope, by the way, we can get this Jane Harmon out of here where I happen to be stuck with her out in California.
Yeah, you know, Jane Harmon is a real problem. She comes from a very liberal district with a real strong Democratic majority. There's no reason for somebody to be in that seat who votes with that kind of eye toward interests.
And I appreciate that. And so that's good news. I'm glad to hear that. I'm going to be looking forward to that announcement coming up next week. And let me hold your feet to the fire here, Jane, via your own blog, where Libby Liberal posted today over at Fire Dog Lake a quick piece with the headline, "Why won't Fire Dog Lake officially use its activism to help single payers now and support H.R. Bill 676?
I believe I am helping single payer. I think that the way to do that is to pass a public option, just as it was with Medicare and Social Security. So, you know, people who say that are asking the wrong question. They're saying, why won't you, use your influence to pass a bill and focus on a specific bill
mm-hmm.
that can't pass right now? And there's the answer. It can't pass right now.
So
we're trying to work within the realm of the possible in order to achieve the same objective. And I don't think it's fair to say that you know, the only way to get this is through passing 676 right now, and that if I'm not working to support that, then I'm not supporting single payer.
So you think that this is a potential pathway then to single payer if we can get that public option?
You know, look at Social Security or Medicare. Once they were up and running, people really liked them, and you were committing political suicide to cut them back. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be in the same situation with the public plan. I think it's the fastest way to get there. You know, if somebody else believes something differently, that's their right, but I don't think it's fair to accuse me of doing something that I'm not doing.
Mind you, I wasn't. That was your own blog doing it. So
I well, no, we have a diary blog that anybody can post on. It's sort of public blog.
I wouldn't have asked you if I didn't think you could handle the tough questions. So, okay, and finally here, then, where you guys are targeting these progressives, stand up, take the pledge, we're going to vote against it if it doesn't have a public option in it. The big news is, the trigger. We'll wait 2, 3, 5 years if the private companies don't come around. Are these progressive Congress members that you're talking to, when they say, yes, we're going to vote against it if it doesn't have a public option, are they saying we're going to vote against it if it has a public option with a trigger? Or are they going to allow this trigger to happen 2, 3, 5 years from now?
Good question, because this morning we were hearing from several members of Congress, coincidentally, that their definition of public option meant trigger. And I wasn't very happy about that. Michael Capuano and Sam Farr had both signed the letter that other members of Congress had signed saying that they would vote against any bill that didn't have a public option. So, I think, as you can well imagine, that was cause for concern. So I put up a post this morning saying, you know what? I got nothing better to do. I need a hobby. You guys want to be responsible for making sure that we don't get a public plan? I say primary. You know,
yeah.
I'll primary it.
I'll primary you as a progressive in a progressive district.
Okay.
And by the end of the day, both of them were walking it back. I mean, I don't think they understand that this is very personal to a lot of us. You know, I've had breast cancer 3 times. I've been taken huge financial hits. And that is nothing compared to the people who've been completely wiped out or who haven't gotten treatment because they couldn't afford it. So this is all in. You know, the members of the Veal Pen are not happy with me. There are a lot of people that aren't happy with what we're doing. The members of Congress want us to just trust them to do the right thing. And that is too much to ask, given their history. This is very important. This is for all the marbles. You're in or you're out. And they should know that we're deadly serious because we are.
Well, let me, Jane, thank you for taking on the members of that Veal Pen, because I think that Veal Pen is really costing progressives. It's really costing, frankly, the country. By a whole bunch of scared people running around taking orders from ROM, threats from the White House that they shouldn't. They need to stand up. And as you wrote, we need to stand up for progressives and let them know we have their back. Clearly, you've got the progressives' back. So thank you for that, for doing that, Jane. Do you want to take one quick call before you go? I know you're on the roll. It's up to you.
Sure.
All right. Last one here for Jane. We'll take all the rest of the calls after Jane is gone, however, so we can talk behind her back. Nan, calling in from my old hometown of St. Louis. Welcome to the Mike Malloy program, Nan.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I have something I'm very, very concerned about, and that is that in both bills, the House and the Senate, I heard this morning it will be in both bills, is the public mandate, not the public option, but the public mandate, forcing us to buy health insurance. And if there's not a public option, that means I'm going to have to buy something that's worse than an HMO, which is nothing more than legalized extortion already.
All right, good question. Jane, is that the case?
Bingo, and that is why we are doing what we are doing. Forcing people to pay tribute to Blue Cross and WellPoint is unacceptable. Forcing them to buy junk insurance from companies that, you know, have proven long ago that they can't be trusted is extortion. If there isn't competition, if there isn't a public plan, if there isn't a way to pressure costs to stay down, these companies have charged 50% wage increases in the past year. We're supposed to trust them. It's wrong. But that's what we're looking at.
Does that answer your question, Ann?
Well, yes, except for that, what they are going to have if they don't have public is going to be worse than an HMO. And are you guys gonna promote it if the public mandate is in it?
Do you mean
the mandate's always been in the public plan bills.
So
it's always been a part of that bill.
A public mandate, but only if there's a public option, not forcing folks to buy into the private plan.
If there's no public option, you have to vote against this bill and kill it.
Nan, would you be able to live with that if there was a public option?
If there's a public option, yes, but not if there isn't.
Okay.
We're saying the same thing.
All right.
Okay, because to me it's like you have the HMO is the mob, and the premium is the protection money, only the distinction is with the mob you got what you paid for.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. Thanks for that call, man. And give Claire McCaskill hell out there in my old home state of Missouri. Jane Hampshire, keep up the good fight up there. I know you will. Of course, let us know at Brad Blog or The Malloy Show how we can help you. Boy, this is going to be a tough one, but I'm glad you're on my team, Jane.
Well, we need all hands on deck, so if you want to come by and volunteer, we could use your help. Click on the pop button at firedoglake.com.
Yeah, and by the way, when you're at firedoglake.com, there's a big thermometer on the sign where they're on the side where they're accepting support for their efforts, for their campaign. Folks need to support progressives, progressive media, progressive activists. Don't count on Rahm Emanuel in the White House. Get in there. Help these folks out yourself. Now more than ever, I can tell you, donations, contributions to folks like Jane and myself have gone down because everybody thinks everything's fine with Obama in. It ain't. We need you to get in there and fight. Jane, thanks for carrying on that fight for us.
Thank you too, Brad.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Jane Hampshire of FiredogLake.com.
Hi.
There we go. Okay. I'll figure out how to use these phones one of these times. FiredogLake.com. Glad she could join us. Going to take a quick break. Come back with more of your calls. Bev Harris of BlackBoxVoting.org joins us at the top of the hour to let us know, oh, man, you think the private insurance is bad? Just wait till you see who's counting your votes in your public elections in these United States of America. I'm Brad Friedman on The Molloy Show. Much more right after this. Mike Molloy Show, Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy, taking your calls, 877-520-1150. Oh, I'm coming down, sort of, kind of coming down from this whole Van Jones thing. But, you know, it wraps up the entire puzzle in a nutshell. The fact that progressives are willing to be bullied, I shouldn't say progressives, real progressives aren't, but these Democrats, these Democrat lights, these blue dogs, these Rahm Emanuels, these Steny Hoyers, and as Jane Hampshire, Fire Dog Lake, just told us a few minutes ago, these Barack Obamas who are willing to roll over, frankly, as soon as the going gets tough, as soon as a guy like Glenn Beck comes out and lies about someone like Van Jones, a real progressive, to come out, Glenn Beck, and you know, say that he thought the Bush blew up the trade towers himself, or whatever nonsense that I played the clips last night. Just utter lies. And we got to stand up to these guys, because this is insane. You're seeing what's happening with health care. Now they're fighting. Now the question is, well, public option, but a trigger 2, 3, 5 years down the road. Wrong. Progressives should have been in there fighting for single payer. Public option should have been the compromise position, but they gave up single payer. They negotiated with themselves. They went straight to public option. And now the question is, oh, are we going to keep the public option at all? Oh, the compromise is a trigger down the road. It's just nonsense. We're going to be talking about that all night tomorrow night after Obama gives his speech to Congress. And, of course, I don't know if any of the Republicans are going to walk out because they're going to be afraid that Barack Obama is going to be indoctrinating Congress. Those idiots. Did you see a speech this morning, Obama's speech this morning to the kids? Very dangerous. He was asking them to stay in school, to study hard, to someday become president. And these idiot wingnuts and teabaggers out there said, oh, he's indoctrinated. They will do anything. The problem is the Democrats who don't stand up to that nonsense, who consider that legitimate debate. It is not. Frankly, we should ignore it, except that the noise is so loud and the Democrats are so weak-kneed and spineless that somebody's got to push back. They're out there fighting about that in the bradblog.com chat room right now. Go on over there and fight with them and stand up to this knucklehead who called Van Jones a communist or whatever nonsense that was. All right, let's get to Marilyn in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Molloy program. What's up, Marilyn?
Well, Brad, let me just float my conspiracy theory.
All right.
As somebody who's...
Bob, I'm going to warn you before you do.
Yeah.
If you float that conspiracy theory, you may not be eligible to work for the White House some years from now.
Well, you were talking about children growing up to work to,
yeah,
like, become president. Why,
yeah,
would you wish that on any child? But look, my cause that I fight for on a daily basis is Don Siegelman.
Yep.
I make phone calls about other things. I belong to Progressive Democrats. I do all kinds of things. And I'm on the obvious good side of issues, and we are hitting our heads against a wall. And like in the Don Siegelman case, there is no good reason for them, not for this administration, to turn their backs on that man and let him go back to prison. And I'm afraid that'll happen. But anyway, the reason I think they don't do it is that they're threatened. I don't think that everybody's corrupt. I don't think it's that everybody's bought off by oodles of money from insurance companies and corporations, but I think they're threatened because they're not...
By who, Marilyn? Who's threatening them?
Well, all you have to do is say, do you want to end up like Elliot Spitzer? Do you want to end up like Don Siegelman? Do you want to end up like Dana Jill Simpson?
So they're worried that they're going to be blackmailed, that they're going to be swift-boated. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Then they don't deserve to be in office. If they're not going to stand up to that BS, then they don't deserve to be in office. You're right. Siegelman got screwed, and he's still getting screwed. The fact that Obama is not doing anything about his case, and I would suggest people go to restorejusticeatjustice.com, where my organization, Velvet Revolution, is calling on Eric Holder to do the right thing there, sign up and stand up and fight. But look, if these guys are afraid of what could happen to them, they have no business being in public service, in my opinion. Marilyn, I got to get to a break. Thanks for your call, though. I do appreciate it. And thanks for continuing to raise hell about Don Siegelman, because it's absolutely an outrage. And that's why I say that this Van Jones thing, you know, few people may be taking care, maybe paying attention to it, say, oh, it's a small issue. It's not that. This is the issue. Standing up for what's right. We had a caller here last night who said, we can't go after Dick Cheney for breaking the law for torture because centrist Democrats will have a problem with that. So centrist Democrats, whoever they are, don't give a damn about the rule of law? Knock it off, people. Wake up. This is your country. Have some courage. Have some spine. And if those folks who are in power don't want to have the spine, guess what? Toss them out. Get rid of them. Run a progressive. AccountabilityNow.org. Jane promises I'm going to be happy next week with what they're planning. I hope so, because I haven't been happy a lot lately. Other than that, I'm happy to be here on the Mike Malloy program. Bev Harris next, talking about the private takeover of our public election systems, plus more of your calls, 877-520-1150. Brad in for Malloy.